This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome back to Casual Tuesdays on The Province Sports. I'm Patrick Johnson. There's a different intro for you, Steve Ewan. How are you?
I like that. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm mixing it up. You know, it's a new school year, all that kind of stuff. Wishing the best to all my friends that are, you know, off teaching kids today. I mean, it's just a short day at school, but they, you know, there you go. Do you feel like it's a new day for you and that it's your first day at the Lions?
First day in about 15 years, yeah. I did some Lions back in the Greg Mons era.
God, that's some special times.
So that is showing my age.
But that's also special times.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think it's obviously losing Lowell Ulrich to other endeavors. Is a bit of a blow to our section, but we're going to try and make things happen and try and do our best for the readers. And I'm excited about new challenges. I think your writing improves and your reporting improves with the more people you talk to. So I think that's exciting.
Now before we go on,
I've got. Scott Rintoul and I are buddies. Julio Caravetta lives beside my brother-in-law. Neil McAvoy and I go back to his days as a slot back for the Surrey Rams and Sean Olson. So I'm excited to kind of hang out, you know, with those guys and learn the game. And I'm excited. I've always been a big Wally fan. From afar, never talked to him, but I've always been really impressed with what he's done. So it's an exciting time for me.
It's any other names you want to drop out there just to kind of show?
Nick Naked and I are friends.
There you go.
Oh.
Now, just give me some context. When you were last...
Because all those people are devoted Tuesday podcast.
This is also correct. We're happy to have them all aboard.
You know who else is?
B.B. Lee.
The game changer.
Just give me some context here before we move along. But so when you were doing this Lions 15 years ago, who else was doing Lions?
Paul Chapman.
Chappie was still on the beat. There you go.
Ken Spencer was still in sports for a chunk of that. So yeah, it was. This was the David Benefield, Damon Allen. I'm trying to think of who else was around then. Raphael Robinson. I mean, there was a bunch of different guys.
Action Jackson, all that.
Action Jackson, I think, was just winding up. Angus Reid, I think, was just coming on board. Jamie Terrace was around. Dan Payne. I was a big Dan, you know, House of Payne fan.
Yeah, there we go. Louis. So the quarterback is named. Well, he was named Travis Lule. Just in time.
Oh, he's still the quarterback. He's just not the starting quarterback.
It's going to be interesting final few months of the season, given that he's out for, 3 to 6 weeks? Is that what he said yesterday?
Yeah, you wonder how his body heals, whether he's a quick healer or not.
He's proving, I mean, generally, I think we'd say he's been proving not to be, and now John Beck's the guy, and as Ed Willis wrote this morning in The Province, that he is not the long-term solution. And
not at 32, no.
No, you know, and
that's safe.
Even Lule, I mean, that's the thing, and it's going to be interesting to see how things play out, because Lule has been the guy, but he hasn't been the guy in quite some time. That's the other thing that's going to be interesting to see. So, you know, They've got John Jennings, who, you know, LU and I talked quite a bit about earlier in the year, and they really think he's promising, but it's going to be interesting to see how things actually play out, because he's only 23. This is a funny league to learn. And, I guess the question I would have before we move along is there, you know, when you think back to dealing with the Lions 15 some years ago, is there a team from that period, or is there a situation that feels similar to what the Lions are in right now, which is that it's not been a good season, they've had some struggles, and now they're down a quarterback?
Oh, I think this league has a lot of ebb and flow to it. I think with, I mean, any kind of smaller league, I see. I think if you get on a bit of a roll, you win two or three in a row, and suddenly your fortunes change. So I think anything's possible. I think there's, I think anything, you know, they get great play out of John Beck, and who, you know, kind of who knows where they go. So I don't think it's any. The CFL is the CFL, and that's part of the appeal of it, is truly, truly anything can happen. We've seen teams with losing records win the Grey Cup, right?
This is true.
Yeah, I think anything is possible.
All right, well, let's move to our next point, which is another Vancouver team that's getting rolling that you knew a few things about. We're not talking about the Giants yet, though. We'll talk about the Giants in a minute. Canucks Young Stars starts at the end of the week, and I believe on Thursday. If I've got my math right.
Okay.
No, Friday.
Yep.
They start practicing on Thursday in Penticton. They start playing on Friday in Penticton.
Beautiful rink in Penticton. Very good team in BC Hockey League team in Penticton.
Well, I played at that rink, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I say we're going to see a lot of it. This won't be the first NHL people going through that rink with Dante Fabro and Tyson Jost.
Yes.
Jost?
Yes.
Two potential first round picks playing in the BC Hockey League, playing on the same team for probably the first time since Zajac and Chucko were with your Salmon Arm Silverbacks.
Nice stuff. See,
back in the day,
somebody knows it's junior hockey.
There you go.
How much optimism do you think we should have? This is a team that I sit back and I'm kind of running a little series on who are these guys kind of thing, and.
Mm-hmm.
There's some actual talent, I think, or are we just overhyping ourselves because we're so unused to having any talent at all when it comes to this team?
A little bit of both, I think. I think Virtanen is an interesting prospect. I think just his size and his ability to skate, and I mean, people question his understanding of the game or his hockey sense, but he's got some physical tools, and Shinkarik has shown that he can score at least a junior level. So there's a guy that on a team that obviously needs some top six type guys. Castles. I mean, there's some guys that on the flip side, there's a lot of lean years prospect wise where you looked at the farm team and you didn't recognize a name. So I'm kind of 50-50. I can argue both sides of that. I can argue that. There's some guys coming, and I can argue the fact that there's been, they look good kind of compared to what we've seen. So that's my non-answer answer.
Good job. It's like you're in preseason.
That's very political today.
It's like you're in regular season form, not even preseason form.
There you go. No, I've been on the Virtanen bus since I saw him turnstile Brett Kulak in his first game of the Coliseum and score. So Brett Kulak is got some NHL potential, and this was a 15-year-old Virtanen, I think, in his second game. So he's a big, strong kid. It reminds me some of Evander Kane, who's turned out to be a decent NHLer.
Well, if he turns...
and a very good Instagram guy.
Yes, yes, and apparently LA billboards.
Okay, there you go.
No. I mean, if Virtanen turns out to be Evander Kane, then we're not. I mean, on ice anyway, we're not worried about the Canucks' future.
Well, if he turns out to be Evander Kane off the ice, we've got less to write about.
That's very true. Very, very true. Is there one guy off the radar that perhaps you're interested in this weekend in Penticton?
Does Jackson Whistle count?
Sure.
I know him a bit as a kid. I think he's a great kid. He was a good team goalie last year. I think he played in some big games on a very good team. So, after Demko, where are they at goalie wise?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a flyer. That's a guy that has got some work to do before he's a pro, but I think just because I saw the kid, he had a real tough year as a 16-year-old and ended up developing to be the guy that took a team to the Mem Cup, be it a different team than his original team. But I mean, that would be a nice story to see him kind of get some pro interest.
So there's slight selfishness there when you mention story.
Completely selfish. Utterly selfish. That's how I roll.
I say, you know what? I mean, in terms of the young stars, I'm interested to see what happens with Hunter Shinkaruk. I wrote about him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the latest profile. I sat and thought about him a little bit. It was interesting to see, you know, this is a player that lost the season to injury. Last year was sort of hit and miss, but ended up with 16 goals in the AHL, which is nothing to sniff at as a rookie. Had a lot of, you know, he had to fight to get ice time on that team. There were a lot of veterans on that team, and when he got a chance to skate with a guy like Cal O'Reilly, he scored 9 goals in 16 games. He finished the season on a really high note. So I kind of went back. I said, okay, you know what? Let's think about this guy in context. Let's think about the bigger picture. And then I went and poked around and saw what other people were saying, and it was, you know, there is some buzz still to him. It's not like, you know, everything's lost. I think we were down a bit on him last year. In hindsight, we were sort of saying, listen, this kid was always older than his peer group, so of course he was always going to score because he was just further physically developed. But the reality is that it's a big step up, and he basically handled it. He now has to go out this season and have a huge year. He's, you know, more than likely going to be in Utica, and he'll get tons of ice time. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, because everybody says
he has to score to be.
Yeah, everybody says he has to.
He's got to be a top six guy.
Absolutely.
He's a smaller guy. He's not a weighty guy. He's not a particularly gritty kind of hard guy, right? But he's shown he can score. You know the story that he's buddies with Mason Raymond and Dan Bertram,
right?
And grew up basically being kind of mentored by those guys. And Mason Raymond, who's played with some guys, raves about Hunter's skill level. So take that for what it's worth. You've seen some Patrick Kane kind of comparisons just of size and style. So, but he's got to score. It's simple as that. Vertanen or Castles or those guys could be effective guys as kind of third line guys. Shinkaruk's got to be a top six.
So that's our NHL look. What about our boy Tyler Benson? What the heck's going on with him? Because as far as I understand, the team is only saying, oh, he's dealing with something that's a nagging injury, is what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything more to that?
Hard to say. I know they're keeping him off the ice. I know they're being very, very safe with him. The longer it goes, the more you kind of go, uh-oh, this is not looking good. Flip side, he did play a lot of hockey over the summer with the under-18 program, so he could probably use some time off. You know he's making the team, so you're not worried about that. So, I'm not the longer it goes, the more you kind of go, the more concerned you are, and particularly with everything that's at stake for the team and for him this year.
There's a couple other guys.
And he loves to play. Like, he loves to play.
Right.
I was standing with him at the inner squad or a scrimmage or something, and he was asking one of the Giants. Vice presidents, if they could find a doctor and they could get him cleared to go in for the third period that night. he loves to play. And his give a damn is right there with the Brendan Gallagher's. Like, that's part of why he's as good as he is. He really loves to compete. And the thing that's always struck me about him is even with all the hype he gets, he's very popular with all the other guys, which you don't always see. So that's really a kind of a testament to his character and to his work ethic. So,
what do you make of this young Bondra fellow? Nice name, by the way.
6'5" guy, left-handed shot, plays the right side. Seems to get rid of the puck well. We've seen kind of imports come and just light it up in training camp and then absolutely disappear. So, until the real bullets fly, it's kind of hard to grade him. On the flip side, Chicago Blackhawks drafted him they seem to have done okay with, you know, their prospects over the years. So that's got to be, you know, kind of a plus on his side of the ledger.
Is he any relation to Peter?
No.
That's too bad. That would have been a good little story. Good last name, though.
That would have been fun.
Good last name, though.
But anyway, big, big, strong guy. Got some swagger. Kind of goes for the big skate at times. Kind of skates past plays, which hockey people will tell you is a classic European style.
Right.
So we will see what Coach Lauren Mullican can do with him in that regard. Looks like he can score. Looks like a guy that maybe you put with Benson. Right, you know, depending on what they do, they're throwing around a lot of Jackson Houck and Taylor Crunk, the two overages with Benson. But I think they're going to try a bunch of different things.
Well, we'll keep watching that. Final thoughts on the Vancouver Canadiens, who wrapped up their season on Sunday, didn't make the playoffs, mm-hmm. I believe, mm-hmm. for the first time in 6 years, something like that. Was it basically first time of the Blue Jays, right?
First time in 6 years. They'd made the previous 5 years and won three of those, kind of sandwiched two losses around three championships in the playoffs. But yeah, I'd still a great kind of a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon, and the fact that attendance was as good as it was tells you the way their product is and their promotion is, and it's a testament to Andy Dunn and everybody out there. You kind of looked when you saw the team at the start of the year and went, "This, you know, there's not a lot of marquee guys." And we had a string coming through Vancouver of just high-end prospects. So you figured maybe things weren't going to be where they're at. I think they barely beat out, barely beat out the worst record in franchise history. So, I mean, it was a very good year in the standings. And I don't know if there's going to be a bunch of those guys we're going to see in the majors, like maybe the last two or three teams. So, but still, I mean, I think they're drawing like at 97% or something.
Yeah, I think that's the number now.
Yeah, that's absurd. I did the stats. I think there's 160-odd teams that, minor league teams, that keep attendance records, and they were 27th.
Yeah, that was
ahead of
impressive.
Like 11 AAA teams.
Yeah,
and
that was impressive.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty good stat. There were nights where there was a lot of no shows, and I would attribute that to the standings.
Yeah,
and the performance on the field. But still, it's a great. I mean, you could put that up with one of the great. You know, that's one of the great Vancouver sports stories.
Absolutely.
The fact that this short season single A team and this market that seems to love Super Bowls and Olympics, keeps drawing, keeps drawing well.
Quick call on who's going to win the Northwest League title. Is it Hillsborough?
Might be. I mean, it's so. I mean, I haven't paid enough attention to who's been dropping guys in their lineup.
Right. Fair point.
Yeah, like you see a lot of, you see teams kind of load up for the run. I think last year Hillsborough had a 26-year-old guy dropped in who had been at Double A.
Yeah,
which is kind of unfair. So, or had a cup of coffee at Double A. I can't remember what the full story was, but yeah, no clue. I think what this year really showed me in Vancouver is how impressive the last 3 or 4 years were.
Right.
You know, you kind of got a little jaded watching the Franklin Barrettos and the Miguel Castros and the Justin Nicolinos, and now all of a sudden, every time the Blue Jays make a trade, you're like, hey, that guy was in Vancouver. Hey, that guy, we saw him for 8 or 10 starts, right? So it was good. They've done such a good job of finding players in Latin America. Who knows what they're going to have next year? I mean, they could be back on. They could be back as a factor next year. So that's again, John Schneider, the manager, is a great guy. It's a lot of fun to be out of the ballpark.
Steve, we've got to run here, so I'm going to see if you've got your Sunday barbecue ready to go. I have mine.
Okay.
You ready to go? Are you ready to hear what it is?
Okay, go. Hit me.
Usain Bolt. Sitting there. Nice. He's shutting down his season. He's going to focus on next summer because he just wants to win more medals. And mm-hmm. so I figure he's got a little bit of time right now. He's probably taking a little break from training. And he probably just wants to kick back and relax. So I figure that's my guy. And he's had a hell of a summer. He's my favorite modern athlete. He's just such an incredible person to watch perform, and his personality is ridiculous, and I just think it's fantastic.
And you really hope that he's legit.
I think he's legit. I think he is. He's just such a freak. Right. Like, he really is a freak.
Yeah, but after Bartolo Colon got caught.
Yeah, fair enough. How about his backflip? How about that backflip throw, by the way? Legit is. Bartolo Colon, yeah.
With the eyeball test.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, who's your guy or gal?
Corey Small from your Victoria Shamrocks, who led his team to, I think it was a 14-5 victory last night in mm-hmm. Game 3 of the Man Cup. A left-handed goal scorer. I've always been a huge lacrosse fan, always been a huge Man Cup fan. I think Ontario's won 9 straight, so it's... To be up 2-1 on the Peterborough Lakers, I think is pretty great. And Small's also a guy that plays for the Vancouver Stealth in the winter, so we would have lots to talk about, you, me, him, and Mr. Bolt.
Love it.
As long as we don't bring a segue.
Yes, or hoverboard or whatever.
Yes.
All right, buddy.
Sounds good.
Enjoy yourself at the Lions today. We'll check in with you later on. ProvinceSports.com. All that stuff. See you later.
Thanks.